Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. I don't know how many of you have been watching the Olympics lately. I haven't been able to watch them this year, and like I wanted to, but I did get to see some of the runners run. I always like the runners racing the long races just because it's wonderful to see somebody with more wind than I do. They have to have a lot of wind to run those races. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Listen to what the Word of God says. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that if there's anyone lost here, that they might come to trust you as Lord and Savior. But Lord, this passage of Scripture also speaks to those who are saved. Lord, we're running a race you've given us. And Lord, the Bible tells us we need endurance. Lord, let us see this endurance. Let us see our commitment to you this morning and how to run. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Now watch these runners run on television and run in the Olympics. I always like the Olympic races because these guys are the best in the world. Now, being the best in the world, they didn't wake up a week before the Olympics and say to themselves, I think I'm going to run in the Olympics. They have to practice. They have to run and run and run. In rain, sleet, or snow, these guys get out there and they really practice running to endure the race that they're racing in. So I'm running a short distance, but most of them, the ones I really like to watch the endurance is those that run miles, 26 miles or better. They really know how to put a race together. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, right, two chapters back, you have a need for endurance in our life. We have a need for endurance so that when we have done the will of God in our life, that we might receive what was promised. And then chapter 11 is that great hall of fame, I call it, of faith, where you have great men and great women of God who have run the race, who have kept the faith. We call it the faith chapter in the Bible. And never one of them, the Bible says, they endured by faith, never receiving the promise. In other words, Christ, in which we have received. Now, their faith in the Bible, each one of these guys, if you look back, you see Moses, you see Abraham, you see Jacob, you see all of these. Sarah, you see these men and women of God running their race. They all kept their eyes focused forward to Jesus Christ, looking for that blessed hope. Folks, we're looking today for that blessed hope. Now, some of you may think that the Christian life is an easy life to live. All you have to do is trust Christ and everything's going to be easy. Well, you have no idea then what the Christian life or following Christ really means. It is work in our life. It takes endurance. It takes effort. I had a young man a few years ago come in the office and I almost wanted to laugh, but it's really sad. He wanted to follow Christ as his Lord and Savior. He wanted to surrender in the ministry and do the things. And he said, you know what? I've tried to live the Christian life, and you know what? It just does not work. I can't be what Christ wants me to be. And I asked him these questions. I said, well, let me ask you something. Did you pray? Did you read your Bible? I knew that he hadn't, after he had come to a commitment, that he hadn't come to church very faithfully, and he wasn't a part of a Bible study group in a Sunday school class. And yet, I see him in his life. He wanted to go to seminary, go to make a preacher. But he wasn't doing the basic things that God tells us to do. And he said something like this, well, I tried praying one time. I tried preaching to read my Bible. And I was wondering, well, you never came back to church much after you made that commitment that you wanted to do that. And I said, how long did you try? Well, a couple of weeks, I suppose. I came faithfully. You know, I wanted to say, son, you don't know anything about what it is to run the Christian life. You can't say, Lord, I want to do this, but I want to do it on my time, see, on my schedule. I want to live the Christian life, but it's not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. And that's the reason I like to see the runners in the marathon, because that's what the Christian life is. It's an all-life experience with Christ. We must discipline ourselves if we're going to get ourselves in shape to maintain that motivation in life to live the Christian life. You don't gain it just a little bit. You see, I wonder if these Olympic runners say, okay, I think I'm going to run the mile and see how I feel after the mile, and then if I feel good, I'll run another mile. No, that's not what they do. They plan to run the whole race. They plan and they practice running the whole thing. I know a lot of them run more than just 26 miles. You see, they want to finish the 26 miles in the shortest time that they can. Now, how do we prepare ourselves to race in the Christian life or to run that marathon in the Christian life? How in the world do we get ourselves in shape? Jesus says in the Word of God, first lay aside every encumbrance. That means in a modern New King James, it says weight. It can mean a physical weight or some unnecessary baggage in our life, in the physical life, keeps us from running that race. I couldn't help but look at those runners. Now, let me tell you something. We don't do it. In the old days, they run completely naked, the race, in those marathons. But now they wear some little T-shirt, a lightweight thing that's got their number on it. They wear shorts, just as little as they can, aerodynamic things, and tennis shoes that they don't weigh hardly anything, because they're trying to get all the weight off of them they can to run that race. Jesus Christ says, we're like those runners. We need to lay aside the weights that overcome. You know, we think about it a lot of times. You don't run a race wearing hunting boots. You don't run a race wearing your coveralls. No. If you want to make it through a race, you have to lay aside some things. You have to wear the minimum things that you can, folks. And notice, there's nothing wrong with the coats or the boots or things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it gets in the way of running the Christian life, then they're in the way. Now, I hear a lot of excuses today why people don't endure. I've talked to people and they say, well, preacher, I find this. I don't have time to pray. man, you've already failed right there. If you're going to run the Christian race, you must make time to pray. I don't have time to get up in the morning on Sunday morning and get this Bible study. Well, you need to make time to do that. You've got to get into a position where you can prepare yourself to endure the race. You've already failed if you can't do those things. I want to know something. What do you do when you get up? I believe you ought to just praise God for being able to get up. The moment my feet hit the floor, I say to myself, thank you, Lord, for another day that you've given me. It don't have to be a lot of time, and that don't take long. Just praise God. Now, I get up sometimes, I feel bad. Most time I feel bad in the morning, every morning. I believe the old devil attacks my life like that. He makes me kind of feel bad, but I'm not going to let him defeat me. I want to say thank you, Lord, for even the good things and the bad things in my life. It doesn't take long. And then when I come to church, I have time to read my Bible and study the Bible, and I say, Lord, show me today what you want me to understand in the Word of God. Is that too hard to set a time to do that, pray and read your Bible, and then meditate on it during the day? I'll be off in a dream world sometimes thinking about what I've read that morning. It's not too hard to do that. I hear people all the time say, well, when the first thing I get up to do, I check my emails before I go to work. That's a bad choice. If you've got time to check your emails and you don't pray, or you don't read your Bible, that's a bad choice. You see, you're choosing to fail. You're not going to get to heaven on those emails. You're not going to be able to run the Christian race. You're not going to be able to fight against the fiery darts that the devil throws at us on the emails. Some people get up, and I'm not criticizing any of this. If you want to do it, it's not bad. Facebook. You spend more time on Facebook than you do in the book of the Bible. Now, folks, you've got to choose. Which are you choosing? Are you choosing to run with the weights on your life? Well, had an older gentleman one time tell me, well, preacher, I need to keep up with what's happening in politics. Let me tell you something. He's not here today. It's all bad. You don't have to worry about keeping up with it. It's bad. Jesus said it's going to get worse. So you better start getting into the Bible, you see. Maybe you need to set your alarm clock just a little bit earlier so you can get up and read your Bible or pray a few minutes or whatever you want to do. Get out on the back porch and be alone with God or whatever. It doesn't take long, but start thinking about Him the moment you hit the floor. You see, that's a good way to do it. The moment you hit the floor, say, thank you, God, for the day that you've given. I always like that passage of Scripture. Brother Roy Taniel Gresham always says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Man, we ought to rejoice and be glad in the day that God has given us. We must lay aside some weights in our life that are holding us back. Now, we load ourselves down, don't we? We load ourselves down every weekend with all kinds of stuff. Again, people say, preacher, the only time I have to do something is on Sunday morning. Well, let me tell you something. You need to load your weekend down. Well, you do that on Saturday and on Sunday morning. You put God first. You come to God. You go with God to church and let Him, the joy of God, fill your life. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I come here and see my family. I consider you as my family. I just love to see all these kids. Man, somebody, I thought this was funny. Somebody told me one time, Bill was with me, said, I only see older people in your church. And I said, wait a minute. Told Bill, said, you reckon they thought all these kids were born to old folks? Bill just cackled. He said, that's right. We've got young folks here, and we've got old folks. We've got all kinds of folks. We've got good folks. We've got sweet folks. We've got bad folks. We've got good folks. Man, no church is perfect. You know, but we learn to love and live with each other. And unless we drop those weights that are in our life, we'll never be able to finish the race that God has given us in life. So what are you choosing to do in your life? Meditate on the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Lay aside those weights that are tripping you up. Now, something you're doing in life that doesn't help you grow as a Christian, you need to stop doing that. If it's not helping you grow, then lay it aside. Now, it says, lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. It traps us. Back then, they wore those long robes. And if they tried to run in a long robe like that, they would become entangled. Now, the Bible says there's sin in our life sometimes that we don't get rid of it, and it entangles us, and we trip us up, and we're never going to be able to run that race if we hang on to that sin that's besetting us or making us not able to run the race God wants us to run. Endure the race. Folks, what in your life keeps you from running that Christian race? Jesus says, lay it aside. Lay it aside. Now, we must run with endurance. The second thing, the course, the Bible says, that's set before us. Now, I want you to notice something about the course. One, God sets the course. God sets the course. Now, in a marathon, the course is set by the judges or the people that's running the race. Each runner has to run the course. They don't just jump over in any old course that they want to. They'll be disqualified if they did that. The Bible says God sets our course in life. We don't run just any old course that we want to. We run the course that God has set before us. You see, our God is a sovereign God who sets the course for each one of us. I've got my course in life that God has given me, that's set before me. I have to run my course. God has got a course for you in your life. He has set that course, and you must run that course that God has set for you. We must remember that God is a sovereign God. He sets the course in our life. Sometimes the course goes up steep hills, and we wonder how in the world we're ever going to make it. But God knows the hills you're climbing because God has set that course for you. Sometimes there's the deep valleys in life. Oh, those valleys, so many times they hurt. But you know what? God set that course for you. He knows the valleys you're in. And he says, even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will be with you. Sometimes it's a long, dry spell in our life. Oh, we get sick, we get tired, we get hungry. We go through a dry spell in our life. But remember, God is in control. He has set that course for you. You must submit to His will and run that course. Now, we don't like to submit, do we? We don't like to submit. People say, well, I don't want to submit to anybody. Well, if you're going to endure the race of life, you must submit your life to God. He's the sovereign God. He made you. He's got a purpose for your life. I believe that with all my heart. My purpose to come to Gun Barrel in 1985 was God ordained. And He's set a course for me to run. You know, I got to run it the way God wants me to run it. I've got to follow His will. I've got to endure that race. Now, it requires a good mindset. if I'm going to endure the race. If you run fast, starting out, and you make that 400-meter run, and you realize you're all out of gas. You've got an 800-meter run. You're halfway there. You see people all the time, when they're running a race and they run out of air, this is what they do. They can't make it. Everybody else passes them. Let me tell you something. You've got to have a mindset that you're going to finish the course that God has set for you. You're going to run and you keep on running. You won't fall behind. You're going to run with all the strength that God has given you, the ability that God has given you, and you've got to have that mindset that I'm going to follow God's will for my life. This is exactly what Jesus Christ meant when he said, "Listen, followers, if you're going to be my disciple, count the cost. Count the cost. Before you make a commitment, count the cost." You see? Are you willing to run that race? If so, you must count the cost of following my will. Oh, if you're going to make a commitment. Now, if we're going to run the race that God has laid before us, let me tell you something. You must count the cost, and then you must be motivated rightly in your life. What motivates you? Well, when I was a kid, my daddy had a great motivation. When he told me to do something, he didn't tell me three times. He didn't tell me two times. He said, "Son, one time is enough to tell anybody. And if you don't do it after the first time, I'm not going to warn you." Lightning struck. It struck fast, it struck hard. I tell you what, I learned first time. After the first warning, nothing good happens after that. You better go do it. God says, "I want you to be motivated in your life." And when people make a profession of faith and never commit themselves to follow in Christ's footsteps and grow and get the courage to endure, we fall short, don't we? Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says one thing motivated them was a great cloud of witnesses. Those people that they heard about in chapter 11, people like Moses, people like Abraham, people like Joseph, people like Jacob, people like Rahab, people like Sarah, the prophets. These people were motivated, that great cloud of witnesses. Let me ask you something. What motivates you this morning? Folks, I say something every Sunday that some people probably get tired of me saying, but it's only because I love you. If you are not motivated enough in your life to get up and come back on Sunday night, you're not motivated by the love for Christ that you need to be. Think about it. Let me tell you something. I've talked to Teddy about it. Let me tell you something. You come on Wednesday night, choir. You come and sing, and I watch a lot of you get up, walk out of that choir, and leave. You're already dressed. You're already here. Why would you want to leave God's Bible study and go home? What if I decided one Sunday morning, "Well, I think I'll walk out and leave for church"? Deacons, you're no different. Some of you came to deacon's meeting last week and then you got up and walked out and left, went home. What a bad example. You can fire me if you want to. I was looking for a church when God led me here. You see, I'm going to tell you the truth, because a lot of times the truth hurts, doesn't it? If I did something like that, no. Sunday school people, let's just go on down the road. I've watched Sunday school people come for Sunday school, say that, oh, we love the Lord and everything, and then go out and go home for church service. You don't love Him like you should. You see, you're not going to endure doing things like that. I feel sorry for you. I really do. If it hurts me, how much more you think it hurts God, who died on the cross for you? And we call ourselves Christians, and we call ourselves running the race, and we don't have no more commitment than that. Now, I understand there's certain things and certain times that you just got to go. And I'm not talking about that. There's certain times you feel sick and you get sick and you got to go. And I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about just plain old uncommitment. And someone says, "Preacher, what is wrong with our church?" And I want to say, you're what's wrong. No commitment. Folks, there's no reason under heaven why we can't be back tonight, watch this movie. Hey, let me tell you something. Somebody said it's probably better than I would be. And I said, well, come on, watch it then. You know, that's great. What's wrong in our churches today is people are not committed to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we ought to be able to look at the book and the great cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you something. Back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, back when my grandmother was alive, man, let me tell you something. She had a tough time just getting to church, but she was there. I saw a lady, I won't call her name, she's here this morning. I saw a lady that is here every Sunday morning for Sunday school. And I know this morning she drove in the rain, she walked in the rain, and I thought, that lady is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hear people say, well, preacher, I'd have come this morning, but, it was raining outside. I remember those people that I could call out by name that have come through this church that have died and gone be with the Lord. People like Curtis Barfield. Some of you won't know him, some of you will. But he had every right in the world to say, preacher, I just don't feel good this morning, because he had all kinds of ailments. But that fellow would be here. He'd be sitting on that pew back there. He would be in prayer meeting at 7:30 or 8 whenever we had it. And he wouldn't gripe. He wouldn't complain about anything. I can think about Miss Dorothy that walked to church. Man, her knees were just hurting her all the time. They were rubbing bone on bone. But she would make her way from down there and walk. And I'd tell her, Miss Dorothy, why don't you park out here? She said, I'll let somebody else that's not as good shape as I am have that. But man, she's gone on to be with the Lord now. Some of these ran. Oh, we all make mistakes. But I draw encouragement from knowing that when they make mistakes, they're just like me. I see where Abraham failed God. I see where Moses failed God. I see what all of them failed God at one point. But you know what? So do I. And I stumble and I fall, and I'm just like you. I fall and I come up short many times. But listen, when the Word of God touches and convicts us, He picks us back up and He said, okay, I'll forgive you. Get on and let's go together. Now, folks, I said what I said because I love you. And if we're ever going to grow as a church and move forward as a church, we've got to see that. And that ought to motivate us. and nothing else. Jesus motivates us. Look, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He endured. He's the author of our faith. He brings that perfection and completion to our life. He shows us exactly how to live. And when he was tempted by Satan, you know what he did? He relied on the Word of God. He relied on the Father. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And he claims to speak the very words of God that he heard God's Father speak. And his final words were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus showed us how to live the Christian life by faith. Now, five things, and I'll quit, that this text reveals. One, he's the captain of our faith. Hebrews 2:10, Acts 5:20, whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and savior. Let me tell you something. There's coming a day when we follow Jesus Christ, when we fight this battle, when we move to the last part of our life, and we're caught up into glory. Let me tell you something. We'll stand at the throne of God and praise God as a child of the King. Jesus Christ is the source of the life. He's our salvation, and he's our faith in life. He's the perfecter of our faith. Let me tell you something. He finished well, and so should we. And we must continue to come to church. We must continue to pray. We must continue to read our Bible. We must continue to do what God has done in the Word of God to motivate us to exercise and to endure this life by faith. Look at what it says. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy, what kind of joy? The joy of bringing many to his Father. Sons to glory, it says. The joy of glorifying his Father. When he sees your life, it ought to be one that glorifies the Father. No one endured more than Jesus Christ on the cross. Yet he said he despised the shame. No one ever suffered like Jesus Christ on the cross. For he knew the glory. He knew the joy. He knew the fellowship with the Father. And then the final reward of faith, the Bible says, he sat down at the right hand of God. Oh, what a place of honor at the right hand of God. Oh, what rule at the right hand of God. Oh, what authority at the right hand of God. And you know, the Bible says we will share throughout eternity with Christ if we endure to the end. Run with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Man, isn't that wonderful? Listen to me. We must never take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and put them on the things of the world. Focus on Jesus. It requires trusting him in all that we do. Paul talked about it over and over. He said, you're in Christ or you're out of Christ. I am in Christ. And we must trust Christ for our salvation. We must identify with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we must focus on the truths the Word of God has told us. Focus on him. The Bible says when others wrong us, love them anyhow. He endured such hostility as no one else ever has. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do we have that kind of life in us? Consider him who endured such hostility. Fixing our eyes on him is the key of growing in Christ. Oh, either you grow in Christ or you grow weary. I don't want to grow weary. We've all watched runners who cannot finish that course. You know, I have watched them. What I really like to watch is on every year the Ironman, you know, where they do a mile or so swimming. Then they get out and they run and they jump on these bicycles and 150 miles on bicycles across the heat and everything. And then they get off that bicycle and they've got to run 26 miles or so. I have watched those guys. Some of them just go ahead and quit. But some of them, they run and run and run. They give out. They're just barely moving, and they're running. They're just sweating, and they make it across that finish line, and they just collapse. They can't even get up. Their legs are so heavy. Where others have grown weary, they run to the finish. Now, folks, we need to run with endurance. We need to run focusing our eyes on Jesus Christ or with our eyes focused on the world. But if we're going to be motivated, if we're going to run with endurance, one, we've got to lay aside those weights, those things that entangle us. I don't know what it is in your life. I've thrown out several. You know. God shows you the things that trip you up. He says, get rid of them if you're going to run. Perhaps you're grumbling. God's not fair to me. Remember, He set the course for you. He knows what you can do. He knows what He wants you to do. Don't grumble. Just run. Just run. And then maybe we're here and we need to refocus our mind and our eyes upon Jesus Christ. Sometimes we run and we grow weary and we lose the joy. I've had a lot of people say, "Preacher, I've lost that joy." Well, you need to get it back. You run because of the joy that's set before you to glorify your Father. Not me. You know, you don't come to church to please the preacher. You come to glorify the Father. And I won't have to ask you to come. I won't have to ask you to make a commitment to God if you glorify the Father, because He's already done it. If you're here this morning and you've never taken that first step of faith to where you say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I want to trust You. I want to run." You see, before you can run the race, you've got to get in on it. I want to run the race, the Christian life. I want to serve You. I thank You for forgiveness of sin. You ask Him to forgive your sins. You come and you say, "I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I come this morning accepting Him. I'm letting this church know that I want to receive Christ into my life." Oh, the Bible says the moment you believe, He will come in. He'll fill you with His Spirit. He'll seal you with His Spirit. And listen, you start to run that race. But if you're not willing to count the cost of reading, praying, getting in on the Word of God, don't come. Because you'll just be back out. It doesn't mean that much to you, does it? I did that one time. I came, it really didn't mean much to me, and I never got anywhere with it. I never was saved. But when I got saved, I never will forget it. Because it changed my life. You see, salvation changes a person. It changes a person. I don't serve for you. I serve for God. Him only. And when I can't serve Him with joy, I hope it's the day I die. Because it'll be all glory from that on out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for our people. I thank you, Lord, for our visitors this morning. Lord, if those here are looking for a church home, Lord, let them come. Lord, stir our hearts to make the decisions that we need to make. And Lord, no matter what anybody else is thinking, Lord, may we make the commitments that you tell us to make. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.